2012, the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. A lot of this you've heard before, but children are an heritage of the Lord. They're a trust given to us from the moment of conception. And the fruit of the loom, no, the fruit of the womb is his reward. Boy, you make a mistake once and it sticks with you the rest of your life. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Human life is precious. That's what the Bible teaches us. What makes human life different from all other forms of life? Well, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 just really clearly tells us. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Animals aren't created in the image of God. It's only man that's created in the image of God. Though that image is marred, though that image is fallen, we still, God wants fellowship with us. God wants communion with us. And so we are created in God's own image. Animals are not created in God's image. Humans are God's special, unique creation. God has given man dominion over the rest of his creation, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and everything that moves on the face of the earth. God has given man dominion over them. And God loves people so much that he sent his son to die for them. I got a question just this last week, again, as I often do. Will dogs go to heaven? The answer is no, dogs won't go to heaven. Now, in the millennium, the lion's going to lay down with the lamb. It's going to go back to, like, creation time. And I don't exactly understand it all, but there certainly are celestial horses because the Lord is going to come out of heaven riding on a charger and all those sort of things. I don't understand all that, but in relationship to animals having a soul that can be redeemed, it isn't. When you die, you're dead, and as somebody said, you're dead like a dog, and that's right, you're dead like a dog. But for us, our soul and our spirit lives on forever because we are God's special creation. The soul and spirit of the human goes on for eternity. So we'll either be with the Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity, or if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you'll be in a Christless eternity, ultimately in the lake of fire for all of eternity. Animals, they just are not saved. God values human life above all life. I just love this picture here of my little grandson Paul grasping hold of Carla's finger, and it's the intricacy of the human ear is just something we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You see, God values the life of the young. God values the life of the young. God values human life above all life. God values the life of the old. It's hard for me to believe that in 1969, Linda and I were married. I still can see myself coming out of the First Baptist Church of Lake Orion, the old First Baptist Church of Lake Orion. I still remember all those feelings and all the excitement and going over to Canada for our honeymoon, and yet I look at myself in the mirror, and though my mind remembers back those things and those times being young, I look at myself in the mirror, and it isn't that way anymore. But God values human life. He values not only the young, but he values the old. God values human life above all life. God values the life of the handicapped. He does. I don't understand it all, but I know that their life is valuable too, and I know that he has a good reason for the things that he does, and God values the life even of the handicapped. Yes, and God values the life of those who are infirm and terminally ill. It's not up. God is the one who's the author of life. God is the one who's the author of death. It is not up to us to end somebody's life before it is to end. I don't understand it all, but God values the young. He values the old. He values the infirm, the terminally ill. And of course, God values the life of the preborn as well. Psalm 139, verse 13 through 17, it says, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." A picture I wanted to put up there was of Polly's little foot that went along with the finger picture and the ear picture, but it is so intricate, it is so all there. "We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are their works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. Thine eyes did see my substance, being unperfect, and in thy books all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them." We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Some of our grandchildren, preborn children, I tell you, ultrasound is amazing. 3D ultrasound is amazing. There's little Paul there. There's a little hand there. There's Emily. There's Natalie. There's Mason. Alive. They're babies. They're not a blob. You know, our nation once valued human life. You can think of what you want to think of Jefferson, but Jefferson hit the nail on the head when he says, "The care of human life and not its destruction is the first and only legitimate objective of government." And you know what? Our government has lost sight of that. There's been a shift in values, tragically. Our nation was founded on what is called the Judeo-Christian ethics. That's the values of the Bible. Judeo means Old Testament. Christian means New Testament. The Old Testament, New Testament values of the Bible. Our national values have shifted to the values of humanism. And yes, the values of paganism, and then the pleasure-seeking culture of hedonism. That's our values today. Everything's measured by what it is for you, and the money it brings to you, and what I want, and all of those things. The shift is from the sanctity of human life to, as Dr. Gene Green said this morning, we are living in the era of the foundational building blocks of the culture of death in our culture. Washington's culture of death. Planned Parenthood, birth control, and abortions without parental permission. Our culture is diabolically bent on funding Planned Parenthood. And they want to kill as many pre-born children as possible. They want to keep parents out of the picture. They want to keep religion out of the picture. And woe be unto the person who tries to stop them in doing that. And yet, many of the other organizations, you need to look at where your funds are going, because even a certain amount of the money that you give to different standard organizations ends up going to Planned Parenthood. We could talk about that more. Religious institutions' health plans must offer birth control now. That's just exactly what I was talking about this morning. The Health and Human Services has said, implementing Obamacare, that religious institutions' health care plans must offer birth control. They're going to give them a year grace period before they force them to violate their conscience. I hope that there is an outcry. I hope that those behind it get thrown out of office, my friends. But that is just another step towards the culture of death that we're seeing in our time as we speak right now. manage health care is becoming a reality before our very eyes. And believe me, the purpose of that is to get rid of the old, to get rid of the mentally ill. You know, already there's a big push in the psychological community to redefine what Asperger's really is and some of the other things that they have given help for previously. Some states are standing for life. One of them is our own governor, Governor Scott Walker. He's very pro-life, but Planned Parenthood wants him out of there. Wants him out of there bad. Took this right out of their own publication. Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin announced their support for the recall efforts targeting Governor Scott Walker. And you know why? Walker is pro-life and is seeking to stop the flow of our tax dollars to fund pro-death providers. They want him out of there. My own personal opinion is I want him in there. The death for the preborn, the handicapped, and the elderly. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 36 says, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul," the Lord says. And look at this. "All that hate me love" what? "Death." I know that's true. For 20 years, I was a consultant for medical professionals. I was a consultant for police departments. I was a consultant for community groups in relationship to the occult. And do you know what the focus of groups are that hate God is? Death. Death. And we're seeing that today. You've perhaps heard of Peter Singer. He has a Practical Ethics. Now it's in two additional editions to this. But Singer is a tenured professor of bioethics at Princeton Center of for Human Values. Yeah, right. Inhuman Values, they should say it. But also he founded, maybe even Randy knows this, having to work where he has to work, but he founded PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I'm a member of PETA too, but a different one. People Eating Tasty Animals. That's me. That's my PETA. Oh, that goose that my wife made, we had goose stroganoff the other night. Oh, that was good. But anyway, back to the real PETA, People Eating for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. It was founded in the mid-70s on the presumption that, here's the presumption, and it's a belief now, this is their theory, life of a person is not necessarily more valuable than the life of an animal. He advocates that killing a defective infant is not morally equivalent to killing a person. Sometimes it's not wrong at all. He also advocates that you ought to decide whether you want your kid even up to 3 years old. Very interesting. Very interesting. Very diabolical. That's from the pit of hell, to be real honest with you. You know, our culture has rejected God's values, and you know what happens? When you reject God's values, you replace the vacuum with something. So we got all these advocates for animal rights. Save the chimps. And so you got people saving the chimps. I'm not against the chimps, but I'd like to see us put money behind saving the babies. Our culture has rejected God's values and advocates animal rights. Baby seals are more important than baby humans. Now you get more articles on saving baby seals in magazines than you get on saving baby humans, preborn humans. And then every now and then we go out to the West Coast, and I do love going whale watching, but our culture, save the whales. They're out there, they're collecting money for saving the whales. Save the whales, save the whales. You know what? A whale gets beached, and there's usually a reason a whale gets beached. But whales get beached, and they'll spend hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars to try and get that whale unbeached, while 3,000 babies a day or a week, I guess it is, are killed. Save the whales. Oh, yes, in our culture, you gotta save the eagle. It reminds me of the joke. This is a joke. I am a hunter. It is a joke. But this guy goes out, and he always comes back in with a load of fish, and everybody else is fishing. Nobody's catching any fish. And so he goes out in the boat with the game warden. The game warden goes out there, and fishing pole sitting in the back of the boat, and the guy opens up his fishing tackle box. He pulls out a stick of dynamite, and he lights the stick of dynamite. It has a rock tied to it, and he hands it to the game warden, and he says, "Toss it in." He says, "That's illegal." He says, "Well, are you going to go fishing, or are you going to just talk about it?" So anyway, they got talking a little bit more, and the game warden kind of exasperated. He says, "Well, what's your favorite meat? I understand you hunt a lot." He says, "Well, can't tell. It's either bald eagle or spotted owl." But anyway, the point of the matter is all that's illegal, and they make a big deal about it. And I'm not for shooting eagles or doing any of that sort of things. But my whole point is you have an animal that is not created in the image of God that is considered more important than human life, than preborn children, or human beings who are terminally ill, or other people who are handicapped. The bald eagle will continue to be protected by the Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act, 1972. Amendments increased the civil penalties for violating the provision of the act to a maximum of $5,000 and 1 year imprisonment, with $10,000 or not more than 2 years in prison for a second conviction. Felony convictions carry a maximum of $250,000 and 2 years imprisonment. And yet it's legal to abort baby after baby after baby. So there's 53 million babies that have been aborted by now. Now, you've seen this picture before, but there's a little baby foot pushing on the mama's tummy there. You look at that. The most dangerous place in America to be is a mother's womb. Death of the preborn has been codified. That simply means that it has been legalized, it's put into law, and you can't be prosecuted for killing a baby. And that goes back to January 22nd, 1973, as you learned this morning. And that is the famous Roe versus Wade. In 1973, abortion became liberal throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. And even now, you have partial birth abortion, but there's 53 million plus at least that many preborn children who have been killed by abortion since the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision. It is simply a holocaust. It's been 39 years since the infamous U.S. Supreme Court decision known as Roe versus Wade, which, as it turns out, was a sham anyway, with the person who brought the lawsuit. This horrendous decision kicked the closet door open and gave legal sanction to murdering the unborn and partially born children. The appalling facts are this: an estimated 43% of all women will have at least one abortion by the time they are 45 years old. Can you imagine that? 43%. 47% of all abortions are performed on women who have had at least one previous abortion. Ask Mrs. Hickey how many repeats she sees. 64.4% all abortions are performed on never married women. Married women account for 18.4% of the abortions, divorced women for 9.4%. 1% of all abortions occur because of rape or incest. 1%. That's if you stretch it, that's if you push it. You know, always you're saying, "Well, but rape or incest, 1%. 6% of abortions occur because of potential health problems regarding either the mother or the child. 93% of all abortions occur for social reasons. Social reasons. The child is unwanted or it is inconvenient. 93%. Women identifying themselves as Protestants attain 34.4% of all abortions in the United States. Women with no religious affiliation, 23.7%. Catholic women, 31.3%. Jewish women, 1.3%. And then it was mentioned this morning, our figures differ a little. 18% of all abortions are performed on women who identify themselves as born-again Christians. Born-again Christians. 52% of women attaining abortions in the United States are younger than 25. Women aged 20 to 24 obtain 32% of all abortions. Teenagers obtain 20% of all abortions. Girls under 15 account for 1.2% of all abortions. And his state configuration was a little bit different than mine, but you can see the blocked out state there. The number represents the entire population. This is how many? 53 million. There would be no people in these states if you figured it out. Wisconsin, Minnesota, North and South Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, Utah, Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Mississippi, Arkansas, and Missouri. There would be no population in all of those when you figure 53 million. Let me tell you something. If those 53 million people were alive, they would be buying things. If those 53 million were alive, there wouldn't be such a competition in the school for students. If those 53 million people were alive, we wouldn't have such a import labor problem because they would be filling that job. If those 53 million people were alive, guess what? They would be paying into the Social Security system and they would be paying taxes. This is a baby. It's a picture taken with a special camera before the baby was born. It just amazes me. There's eyebrows there. There's very fine eyelashes. Maybe you can't see them. There's a little hair on the brow. The nose is formed. The lips are formed. This is a pre-born baby. What does the Bible say? The Bible is clear that life begins at conception. As he spoke about Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 15 this morning, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. For he, John the Baptist, shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. John Gill, one of my favorites, says, he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb means whiles in his mother's womb. Psalm 139, 13 through 16, I already read, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are covered in our mother's womb, it means we're knit together in our mother's womb. Children are woven or knit together in the wombs of their mothers by God. And we are fearfully or awesomely and wonderfully, uniquely made. When does life begin? Well, this is preborn, Emily, my granddaughter. And this is Emily after she was born. And this is Emily today. Human being, human being, human being. Life begins at conception. Samuel R. Moss, tiny hand grips Dr. Joseph Bruner's fingers. Just as Bruner completes the surgical procedure on the 21-week-old unborn infant. There's a lot of facts that could be shared. Fetal heart begins from 18 days after conception. The measurable heartbeat, 21 to 24 days after conception. Brain waves form on the 23rd day. The brain waves produced by 6 weeks. By 8 weeks from after conception, the stomach, the liver, the kidneys of the baby are functioning. And fingerprints are formed at 9 weeks. The unborn child can feel pain at 9 weeks. Squints, swallows, movements of the tongues, making a fist. 18 weeks, the vocal cords work and can cry. It's strange to hear a baby cry when they're in the womb, but it can happen. 20 weeks, has hair on the head, weighs 1 pound, 12 inches long. 24 weeks, 56% of the babies survive birth at this time, God's view of children. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are a reward or a blessing from God. God demands that we reverence and protect human life. That innocent blood be not shed in thy land. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 10. Six things doth the Lord hate, hands that shed innocent blood. God demands that we protect and reverence human life. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? Or he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render every man according to his works? Abortion is killing a baby. Thou shalt not kill. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God made he man. If man strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her and yet no mischief or miscarriage doesn't follow, he shall surely be punished according to the woman's husband lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if the mischief follow, or there's a miscarriage, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. One of our nation's key founding principles, as I mentioned earlier, our nation was founded on the basis of the sanctity, protection, and protection of human life and the punishment of those that would take it. Thomas Jefferson, as we read earlier, the care for human life is the first and only legitimate object of good government. The Declaration of Independence says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted of men. Stay focused. What keeps a nation focused on the sanctity of human life? John Quincy Adams suggested this. Listen to what Quincy Adams said. 3 points of doctrine form the foundation of morality. I think he's right on. The first is the existence of God. The second is the immortality of the soul. And the third is the future state of rewards and punishment, heaven and hell. Suppose it possible for a man to disbelieve any of these articles of faith, and that man will have no conscience. That's where we're at today. No conscience for many people. He will have no other law than that of the tiger and the shark. Why? Well, they don't believe in the existence of God. They don't believe in the immortality of the soul. And they don't believe in heaven or hell. Today, the law of the tiger and the law of the shark prevails. Roe versus Wade, 1973. Since abortion was legalized, 53 million babies have been murdered. The population of the United States is about 2.95 million. That is 16% of the population of the United States. That is a Holocaust of gigantic proportions. Why should we try to persuade others? Well, opinion poll is nearly split. It's about 50-50 in relationship to believing in abortion or not abortion. We must tell people the truth about abortion and pray God will open their eyes. Abortion is murder. Abortion kills children. Abortion harms the mothers. Abortion is only the first diabolical step in the degeneration to a death culture. Just the first step. These steps that are already being taken are infanticide. What is infanticide? It's the practice of killing a child within the first year of birth. That's the technical definition. Right now, women are being counseled. Some time back, I posted an article about Tim Tebow on the internet. His wife were missionaries, and she got a really bad infection. The medicine that was prescribed for her was strong medicine. The doctors told her she needed to get an abortion. She refused to get an abortion. They said the baby is going to be deformed or even dead. She said, I'm going to trust God. She took the medicine, and the young baby was born. And guess who that young baby is? I told you at the beginning, Tim Tebow, the football player, who is a born-again Christian and an avid witness. Another instance is, some of you know, unfortunately he isn't saved, but how many of you have ever heard of the late Steve Jobs? Okay. He was adopted as opposed to being aborted. And look at what they have today as a result of him. Euthanasia, what's that? That's deliberately ending the life of the unwanted, including the infirm and the terminally ill. You heard all the discussion about death panels. Believe me, they call them by a different name, but if Obamacare gets implemented, there's going to be managed health care and there's going to be death panels. Who gets treatment and who does not? Because there's going to be an increasing degree of euthanasia, people who cannot be treated, will not be treated, because somebody else needs to be treated. And then there's something called sardonicide. You haven't heard a lot about it, but it's among the very ancient peoples of Sardinia. They are called the Sardi. It was customary to kill old people. While killing their old people, the Sardani laughed loudly. This is the origin of the notorious sardonic laughter. Occasionally you hear somebody talking about diabolical or sardonic laughter, now meaning cruel, malicious laughter. That's where the culture's headed, friend. That's where the world's headed. Sardonicide, killing the older people. And this is my dad. My dad can't see. He can't walk well. He has all kinds of medical problems. And that's him holding little baby Mason there. You know what? I'm not going to kill my dad, and I'm not going to let somebody else do it. When it's time for him to go home to be with the Lord, I hope the Lord just takes him, and I hope the Lord takes him quickly. But that's the Lord's decision. That's not my decision. Lynn and I labor every day to care for him. We want him to be cared for properly until the Lord decides to take him home. We need to choose life. I just love this picture. They have the, I don't know what the technical name for it, the Oak Creek Farm days, sitting grandchildren there, a little Paul, and he's being held by my granddaughter, and there's we just have him sitting there having a good old time. Praise God for life. I hope my dear daughter doesn't mind, but there's another one I'm going to get to see in heaven as well that never made it. But I'm going to see Rose one day. She miscarried, and there'll be an additional one I get to see in heaven. Little ones out in the snow. And there they are. I'm so glad that my daughters and their sons-in-laws, my sons-in-laws chose life. And I'm glad my son did too, because I got to go duck slaughtering. Anyway, choose life for human. That's my son on the far right, Timothy, Andrew, Keith. I don't know who the old guy is on the left, but I think that's me. Yeah, I know. And then I that's Cassidy. Cassidy wasn't in the picture. She's holding one of her dogs. Choose life. Friends, choose life. What can we do? Show respect for others. Teach our children the Bible truths about the sanctity of life. Speak out publicly for biblical values on all levels. Support pro-life causes. Distribute pro-life literature. Win others to Christ. I make no bones about it. We're a pro-life church. As long as I have anything to say about it, we're going to be a pro-life church. Life is precious. Life is precious. Preborn, young, old, the infirm, terminally ill. The matters of life and death belong to God. We should not mess with them. Let's pray.